When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So the Vikings take a wide receiver early in the draft. It's a very interesting question because they do need depth at the wide receiver position and they need a third guy. But how early should they take him? And how much is a torn ACL suffered by TJ Hawkinson going to factor into their decision to take a guy early? Well, we don't want to leave any stone unturned, so we're going to take a look at a couple receivers who I'm very high on in this NFL draft class, and they were teammates at Texas, Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. We're going to talk about them, break them down, what their draft stock could be, and how they might fit in the Minnesota Vikings offense up next here on Skol Search.
Welcome to the Real Forno Show, hosted by Tyler Fornes, the managing editor of USA Today's Vikings Wire. Writer for the College Football Network, publisher of Substack, Run In Shooter, host of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungry on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, as well as a founding member of Vikings First and Skol.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Skol Search. I'm your host, Tyler Fornes. With me, as always, producer Dave, and we're here to talk about a couple of Texas receivers. Dave is within spitting distance of being able to watch these guys every single Saturday, but we know he's not because he is focused on two old bloggers. So we're here to catch him and everybody else up on these Texas dynamos. And let's not waste any time. Let's start off with Adonai Mitchell, who is a proud member. Well, we're going to call him proud. He probably doesn't even know I exist, of the All 4-0 team.
And I'm sure he's heard about it.
The all 4-0 team is just my favorite prospects. There really is no qualification other than that. I try not to have first round picks on there because everybody loves first round picks. They're good football players. But Mitchell was the exception. He's the only first round pick on the all 4-0 team as of right now. And I don't believe that's going to change. It could. I've just started offensive linemen, which we won't talk about a lot on Skol Search just because the Vikings really don't have need at tackle and that's where the depth of this class is, but we may get to some interior guys. We'll see how time permits. But Adonai Mitchell, a very interesting prospect, transferred from Georgia and played this past season for the Longhorns. 6'2" and a shade over 200 pounds, third year junior, five-star recruit for out of high school. Only 155 targets, but 93 receptions, 1,407 yards, 18 touchdowns, 7 rushes for 117 yards and 2 touchdowns. That is not necessarily something you see out of a guy this big. I watched multiple games, Alabama, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Rice, to kind of get a sense of what Adonai Mitchell is. And I have a lot of live viewings of him, including his time at Georgia and all throughout the season at Texas. So there's a lot of background here. And let me tell you, this guy's a good football player. He might be one of the smoothest athletes I've ever scouted, regardless of position. Everything he does just looks effortless. You could tell he's got speed. And I kind of had a similar problem to Rome Odunze, where with Odunze, I didn't think he was like this super great athlete because everything he did was just so smooth. He didn't really show off a lot of explosiveness and a lot of those like high-end super athletic traits, but he was a high-end athlete. And, you know, when you something like that happens to you, you kind of learn a lesson. And my lesson was, hey, just because they're smooth doesn't mean they're not a great athlete. So you take that and then you kind of apply it elsewhere and you learn and you grow and adapt how your scouting process works. And Mitchell was kind of the cause and effect of that because Mitchell was incredibly smooth. But in turn, I noticed, hey, this guy is a very good athlete and he can do a lot of different things. So Mitchell, really good football player. He just moves effortlessly. And what's even more impressive is every movement, Dave, is with intent. It's like a boxer. Boxers just don't throw punches to throw punches. They throw them with intent. They hit that left jab and then that right cross back to back, that combo, because they're trying to do something with those punches. They're not just throwing them because they're in a boxing match. They're trying to utilize strategy in how they do it. And that's kind of how Mitchell moves. Everything he does is with intent. And when he runs, he just kind of looks like he's gliding out there, which is where some of like those, hey, the 4.35 kind of surprised me a little bit, but I also thought he was really fast. I thought he'd run 4.4, but he ran, sorry, not 4.35, 4.34. He was even more impressive than I was giving credit for because his first run was 4.35. Look, this guy is a big X receiver who can move and he shockingly can turn. And that's kind of the big question with these X receivers. They're big, but how fluid are their hips? Are they oily enough to be able to make those breaks and to be able to explode out of them and create that separation? That's the big question. And we'll kind of get to that here in time with Mitchell because it's a little bit of a convoluted answer. He does offer a varied release package. So kind of what that means is he doesn't just come off the line of scrimmage one way. He comes off it in multiple ways. And it doesn't matter if he's going to the outside, the inside, if he's trying to set you up, if they're doing a switch release, which is where he and another wide receiver cross and then go upfield. And by doing that, it can kind of create confusion with the cornerbacks, especially if they cross and then cross again. Do that double scissors output. Sometimes you'll see that with like a post and a corner, where you'll do the double switch to really get those defenders kind of off axis and thinking. If defenders have to think, it's over. That's the goal for the offense. You want to make sure that they have to think so they can't react. And he understands how to do that in multiple ways. Dave, what's up?
Well, I'm going to say, but complicated routes like that generally take time to develop because they're running at angles and crisscrossing before getting depth. So take that into account if you're thinking of drafting this young man, which I'd love to see him in purple, but that he's got to have a quarterback that's patient and a line that's keeping the quarterback free to set those guys up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's just an example. I'm not saying that it's something that the Vikings will end up doing. They do it in bunch concepts, but bunch concepts are much different to utilize those kind of switch releases than you would for other people or for other route concepts. But what's really interesting, he understands how to use leverage to open up the defender's hips on like in-breaking routes. He can run digs really effectively. He's not a guy you want running like a ton of outs. Just let him run in routes constantly. And here's how that works. So I use that reference from D3, the Mighty Ducks, a lot. Coach O'Ryan always told Charlie Conway, because Conway never played defense, he's like, make him make the first move. You make the other guy make the first move, you can react and counter that. If you make the first move, they are countering you. You want them to have to counter your counter because they commit first. So what he'll do on dig routes is he'll take it up to the stem, and when he sees those hips flip, takes off, and then he makes his break, and he has the speed and quickness and savvy with his route running to be able to get open. And I think that's a really impressive thing. It's something that some guys his size just can't do well enough. And the fact that he already can at 21 years old is a great sign for his future. He displays great body control, which I'm very impressed with. And it's in all facets. He can maneuver his body in route running. He can maneuver it when he attacks the ball in the air. He's never out of control. And I think that's really important when you're talking about him as a football player. He never loses control of what's going on with what he's doing. And he doesn't get knocked off access because he is a bigger guy and he's got a muscular frame. He doesn't let people impact him, affect him. And we'll talk about his teammate, Xavier Worthy. Worthy kind of has that problem sometimes, but he also weighs 165 pounds. So it's a little bit different. The one interesting things about Mitchell, he has 6 drops on his first 52 targets. That was just his freshman season. Only 1 in his final 103. The only way I can contextualize it is he just struggled his freshman year, and the transition to college ball was a little harder than anticipated, and now he's fine. He's good to go. And I'm not saying he's going to be a flawless catcher, but 1 drop in the last 103 targets, which encompasses his sophomore and junior seasons, if he has 4 every 100, I think you're very happy with that. Even 6 every 100 is fine. Like, a 6% drop rate is around average in the National Football League. Your elite guys are at like 1 or 2%, like your Stephon Diggs. Larry Fitzgerald was always incredible in that category. So we're trending in the right direction, and I think that's going to translate to the National Football League, but not nearly at that rate of 1 in 103.
Yeah, but his freshman year, he may have been distracted. There's a lot of things to distract you at the University of Texas, if you know what I mean. So
he was at Georgia.
Or even at Georgia.
Yeah, and it could just be, hey, he was not used to the speed of the game, because the speed does change from high school to college, because you've got like State Farm insurance salesman playing cornerback in high school. In college, you have there'll be some, but you're going to have a lot better athletes, guys who are going to coach high school football. And it's just different. And sometimes that adjustment can be really difficult for players. Sometimes it's very easy. Everybody's different. So
I was referring to the visual distractions.
Oh, no, I know. I just see it as an anomaly. So we'll kind of move on. Look, he's not a perfect prospect. We talked a lot about a lot of good. Let's talk about some of the struggles. He is a bigger receiver, but he's not a yak guy. He does not get a lot of yards after catch. Only 1 game over 30 yards after catch. And in college, this is something to be really cognizant of, because college spacing is so much different. And you are basically gifted opportunities to get yards after the catch. He only had 178 in 2023. Look, that's not a lot. You want to have a lot of yards after catch because you're given those opportunities. Opportunities with screen passes, with crossing routes. And taking advantage of them is key. He's not the biggest yak guy, but I also think that Texas didn't use, even though I talk about usage, they didn't give him a ton of those opportunities in comparison to the rest of college football. So there's a lot of context that has to be put in here. I think he's going to be just fine as a yak guy. He's probably never going to get more than like 30, 35% of his yards after the catch, which is just fine because of what type of receiver he is. But I don't think it's going to be a debilitating thing for him in the NFL. It's just going to be on how you use him. And that's going to really tell you a lot about what his yards after catch is going to be. In the same vein, he doesn't force many missed tackles. 9 in his career and only 6 in 2023. He's fast, but he's not elusive. Like, there are guys who are elusive and who are great at breaking tackles. Some of it just has to do with how these guys end up being used. Dig routes, go routes, not a lot of opportunities to break a lot of tackles because of how guys are positioned, this, that, and the other thing. So
does he try to power through them?
Yeah, but guys are usually, like, a lot of times he gets tackled up by the hips, which is a heck of a lot harder to break than it is, like, when it's just like an ankle tackle. So I'm not going to say it's going to be a debilitating thing for him, but it's something you got to consider. Consistency in blocking also needs improvement. He doesn't maximize his leverage well enough, and he gets out of position a little bit too often when he's making some of those blocks, but he's got effort. I can teach the rest. Effort, I can't. So if I just need more consistency, that's just something I can coach. So I feel better about that than I would if he just didn't care at all. And as an X receiver, especially in a Kevin O'Connell offense, you're going to be asked to block, and you're going to be asked to do it a lot. So you better have the chops for it. He has the chops. So we'll kind of see how that ends up developing. Overall, Dave gave him an 86.2 out of 100. First round grade. I really love this guy. I think he's got the ability to be an alpha at the next level. He's young. He's got room to grow. He's got a great baseline of ability. And I have him abnormally high. He is 12th on my big board right now. And I don't think he's finishing below 15. A lot of people have him going, oh, like late first round. I have him a lot higher. And he's a dang, dang good football player, Dave. Really good.
Oh, and that 4-3-4 surely helped. People saw his athleticism, and they're like, ooh, I can work with this.
Yeah. He jumped nearly 40 inches, I think, too. Like, he is a very, very impressive athlete. And I'm very excited to see what he does at the next level. I think his range probably starts now at 15, which is the Indianapolis Colts. I did a mock draft where I had the Vikings taking him at 11. And if you guys don't know my 7-round mock drafts I do for VikingsWire every Friday, I do different scenarios. And it's not something, hey, I believe this. I think this should be the way. It's like, well, what is it going to look like if they went this direction? What is it going to look like if? And one of them was, hey, what's it going to look like if the Vikings focus on bolstering the offense? That's their only goal. Strengthen the offense. Adonai Mitchell was the first pick because the other three receivers were off the board. I'm like, well, I want to bolster the offense, so we're going to go receiver. And yeah, I love Adonai Mitchell. All Forno team member.
Hey, that's freaking awesome. He looks like he's built. He's got good size. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, you know, you talk about Yak and doesn't break tackles if he tries to break him like a tight end would, because if he's 6'2", he's been 6'2 probably a while, and he's bigger, thicker, especially versus Worthy, which we're going to get into here shortly. It may be a mentality thing. You know, he watched too many Earl Campbell videos when he came to Texas. Who knows? Well, that brings us to Cheddar and Underdog Rescue.
Yes, Underdog Rescue, our friends. And we just got our sweet boy Cheddar just a couple days ago. We adopted him from Underdog Rescue. He's a one-year-old lab mix, and he is just the sweetest boy. He and Odie are struggling a little bit. Odie's not used to somebody being in his domicile, and we're getting adjusted, but he's a very sweet boy, and we're very excited to have him. And Underdog does a fantastic job of getting dogs from any situation and getting them to a good, healthy point and then putting them up for adoption. So then you can change your life, but really they change yours. UnderdogRescueMN.com. If you want to donate, foster, or adopt, cannot recommend it enough. This is our second underdog and we are very, very happy. UnderdogRescueMN.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now on to Xavier Worthy.
Yes, sir. Xavier Worthy. As you can tell, his spider chart is very weird because he is an abnormal size. 5'11 and a quarter, 165 pounds. Yes, 165 pounds. That is very odd. Now, if you remember Tank Dell last year, I was very high on Tank Dell. I had a second round grade on him. He goes in round three. And let me tell you. Oh, thanks, Yogi. Underdogs are the best. I'm glad you agree. Tank Dell weighed 163 pounds. So, and Devonta Smith, 10th overall pick, weighed 171 or 173 a couple years back. Stick. So it's becoming less of an issue to have a weight discrepancy than it was in years past because the game has evolved. So let's have the conversation about Mr. Xavier Worthy. At that size, he is very abnormal, but he's a third-year junior, four-star recruit, 335 targets in his career, 196 receptions, 2,752 yards, 25 touchdowns, seven rushes, 68 yards on a score. Look, he's got a lot of production. And it should be no surprise that there's a lot of production there because they saw the talent right away and they used him. And he ran a 4.21 40. 4.21. Pretty bonkers. Odie was so surprised by it. He's still sleeping next to me right now. So that's how surprised he is. But how much is he? Is he just a speed guy? Is there more to him? Well, let's have that conversation to kind of get the sense of him. I've been watching Xavier Worthy for 3 years, but Bama, Oklahoma, Wyoming, and BYU were the games I watched specifically to watch Worthy. And yeah, just a good football player. He does have the speed. It's on field. It looks close to a Tyreek Hill level. Track speed and how it impacts the game are slightly different. He ran a 4.21, but would he outrun Tyreek Hill on a football field? I don't know. I don't really have that answer, but he can impact the game. And there's a play against Wyoming where he took a screen pass and he got up upfield. And Dave, you remember that screen pass Randy Moss took to the house against the Cowboys in the 98 Thanksgiving game? Where at about the 20 yard line, he takes one hard step inside and then continues up the sideline. And that just
is gone. Yeah.
He dekes out the safety just enough, gets him to lean inside so he can get past him. Worthy can do that. And he did that against Wyoming. It was a very impressive play and he was able to just burst through. When he's going deep, it's not just about speed with him either. What's really interesting is he can track the football. He sees it very well coming to him, and he can adjust. Against Alabama, he had one of those Willie Mays catches where he's looking over his right shoulder, and the ball is way over his left, so he like drifts and almost turns and catches the ball, touchdown. Like, when you are a deep receiver, it's not just as simple as getting open. You have to be able to see the football. You have to be able to track it, figure out where it's going so you can get under it and make the catch. Worthy can do all those things. And I think that's what makes him a different type of speed weapon because there's levels to his game. It's not just about, oh, I go zoom, zoom. No, he can do more than that. He can run and he can play the receiver position at a technical level, which is really impressive. But let's talk about the route running because it's not just about speed. You can't just be a speed route runner. You have to be able to add some technical elements to it. Let's look back at Tyreek Hill again because I don't have a comp for Xavier Worthy. I think he's somewhere between Tyreek Hill and like a Ted Ginn. He's not just I just go zoom zoom guy. He's got more nuance to him, but he's not on the level of a Tyreek Hill. So he's kind of somewhere in that middle ground. But what he does do is show some nuance. He can make breaks at full speed to kind of make it so the defense just can't jump him when he's like slowing down and then flipping his hips. He can make really fast turns. He can stop on a dime on like comeback routes. And he has the hip fluidity to be able to do all of that. And I think that that's a really, really impressive thing. You don't need him to be a super nuanced route runner, but he needs some, because that speed is going to help you out a lot. But if you have just a little nuance, you can take things to a different level. And Worthy has that. And I think that's what makes him so, so intriguing. Yes, Dave.
No, I was just waving at No Stop joined us.
Oh, welcome, No Stop. But let's keep talking about that Tyreek Hill dynamic, because he's also dangerous with the ball in his hands in the same way. There will be discussion about him being in that tier. And I don't think he's quite there yet. He needs to prove it in the NFL. But if he does the way I think he can, you're going to have conversations about his speed being truly game-changing dynamic, because you can't just put a fast guy in the field and expect things to happen. You have to have that technical element.
Well, I've seen clips of him all this last year at Texas. He has game speed. It's now, whether it's when he breaks it open and screams down the sideline, the dude is fast. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Really, really, really impressive player. But it's not all good. Let's talk about the concerns. He is very slight. He isn't just skinny for being that 5'11¼". But I mean, look at him. There is muscle mass, but it's not a lot. So how much can you expect him to add to the frame? Because if he got to 175, I think you feel a hell of a lot more comfortable about this player. But is he going to go from a 4.21 guy to a 4.35 guy if you do that? How is his speed element going to change the more weight gets put on? Can he gain more weight? Some guys just have a super fast metabolism and you can't. There's only so many calories you can eat in a day and make it good calories. Like, there's the old mantra of offensive linemen just shoveling peanut butter and jelly sandwiches into their mouths. That's good weight, but you don't
Peanut butter and mayonnaise, peanut butter, jelly, peanut butter, all sorts of them. Trust me, I've eaten them by the loaf.
You don't necessarily want a guy like Worthy just shoveling peanut butter and jelly sandwiches into his mouth. So how is he going to be able to gain weight? And how much is going to impact the speed? These are real questions. So the 165 is a worrisome number. He doesn't have the most reliable hands. And this is a very difficult conversation to have, because it isn't just about the drops. He has 15 recorded drops, but there are a lot more issues than that. It's when balls are outside his frame and he gets hands on him, he doesn't pull them in. It's almost like he has bricks for hands, but he did show some improvement year over year. So if you get him in the right system, the right organization, right coaching staff, and you can make things happen. You can get him into a better spot. I don't think his hands are hopeless, but it is a real concern. But are you going to say no to a guy's 4.21 speed because he drops three more passes a year than a guy who runs like a 4.4? Probably not. You just kind of deal with the three extra drops per year because of that game-breaking ability. So I don't think it's going to hurt him a ton, but it is a real concern that you need to be cognizant of when you select him. And contested catches are going to be another one. 15 of 44, five each in 2021, 2022, and 2023. Doesn't have to play strength to really win at the catch point. You're going to have to hit him in stride. You're going to have to get him in yards after catch opportunities and let him use the speed to separate. And you're going to have to hit him, because if he has to go up and jump and get it, he's probably going to lose because of his frame, because defenders are going to be a lot more strong at that catch point. So it's just one of those things. You have to be aware of it. And I think teams will be, but I also don't think it's like this death sentence either. You know what you're getting and you have to use that guy. Tyreek Hill's pretty good in contested catch situations, but he is also like a thick 210 pounds. He is built like a Justin Gatlin, Michael Johnson. Like, those sprinters are just built thick. They weigh like 210, 220. but they're training their body in a different way than a football player does. So it's just something to be aware of. But let's talk about the overall ability here. I gave him a second round grade. He almost got a first round grade, 84.8. 85 is my first round threshold. Just some of the things, the hands and the contested catches really brought him down. If he had shown even more improvement with his hands in 2023, he might be a first round grade. I did not double count his speed. Some guys with their athletic testing, because I didn't know how good of an athlete they were and I had questions, I did raise their grade or lower their grade based on athletic testing. But I only do that for a few players when I have questions. I don't know what you're going to be. I don't know how to quantify this, so I will adapt when I get new information. I already knew Xavier Worthy was fast. I already knew he was really fast. Running a 4.21 doesn't really change anything for me, but it does strengthen my belief that this is a good football player. And that's why I think end of the second round, I think, is good. Right now, he is 18th overall on my board. And I do have 17 first round grades. I gave out my 17th this morning to Olufoshana, the offensive tackle from Penn State. So that's your Texas wide receivers. Good football players. And I'll tell you this, if the Vikings see one of them at 42, pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. And wide receiver is a sneaky need. Vikings love running 11 personnel, and you need one more guy to be able to do that. I don't think you want to count on Brandon Powell or Jalen Naylor. KJ Osborne's probably gone. You don't want to count on a guy like that to be number three. You want a guy with potential, a guy who could be a star, and maybe you get that guy in round four, which is totally fine. But if you have a chance to get Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy at 42, assuming you still have the pick, it's going to be very hard for me to pass that up. So it's something to be cognizant of, Vikings fans. Wide receiver is not the biggest need, but you go into the draft to get talent. You don't go in the draft to fill needs. Free agency is going to be for needs. They're going to do enough work on the defensive line and edge where I think they'll have the freedom to be able to pick whoever they want at every single selection.
Well, we're going to find out. Speaking of free agency, the Twitter's hot and bothered today as people are being traded left and right and veterans being cut. We're trying to keep up with it all, but everything goes absolutely wild come Monday morning, approximately, officially at 11 o'clock Central. And we'll be here to track it, document it, post out some content if anything happens with your Minnesota Vikings. You'll get quick shorts from the man right there, Mr. Tyler Fornes, and we'll work on the more longer form ones, whether it be Kirk Cousins agreeing to terms somewhere else or with the Vikings, whether we agree terms with Mr. Wilkins from Miami, or whatever happens and develops. We'll find out. But the really big name free agent that's already been signed is Johnny Mundt. So we got the best third tight end back on the team once again.
Ah, yes, Mr. Johnny Mundt, the NFL's best third tight end. To me, that was a signal that a guy like Noah Fant's going to be out of the question. They didn't pay Johnny Mundt $2.5 million to be tight end three. They gave him $2.5 million to be the fill-in for tight end one. And then he'll eventually become tight end three once Hockenson is back. But that signaled to me that Hockenson's recovery is going to be a lot smoother and quicker than we may have anticipated. And I think that's great. I think if that happens, it's a massive benefit for the Minnesota Vikings. It's a massive benefit for TJ Hockenson. And you should feel pretty good about it. Yeah, and with that, Dave,
the tight end room is pretty much going to be the same this year as it was last.
Yep. With that said, that's our show.
Hey, hope everybody has a great weekend. Catch me tomorrow at 4 o'clock Central. I have a special guest coming on, the one and only Justin Day from Purple and Gold for Days. He joins me because why? Darren's going to be on an airplane heading to Costa Rica. And he's going from negative temperatures in the Great White North to very tropical ones. And I hope he's miserable. So just kidding. I want him to have a great time. but it's going to be a culture shock and a temperature shock for him. So it's going to be fun. So join us tomorrow on Two Old Bloggers, myself and Justin Day. And we're going to be talking pre-agency. So see you there.
Yeah. And make sure you hit like, subscribe, and ring the bell. Whenever there's a signing, we're going to try and go live. And at the very least, you're going to get a quick, short, kind of breaking down in a quick form synopsis each Minnesota Vikings signing. And if Kirk Cousins or Danielle Hunter ends up leaving, we will also be going live. We will be ready to rock and roll. And don't forget, Real 4-0 show, Monday and Wednesday night at 6:05. That will not change, and we'll get wrap-ups of what's going on, possible projections for, based on rumors of what's going on. You're not going to want to miss, and the only way to know for sure whenever we go live or have anything come out is to ring that bell. It helps us, and it helps you, and you don't have to watch it live. That's the beauty. You get it at work. Oh, sweet. I'll have something to listen to on my drive home. Perfect. You can do that.
Right. All over in England, what he does is he listens the next morning as he's driving to work.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you guys very much for joining. I'm Tyler. He's Dave. Skol Vikings, everybody.
Skol Vikings. Like, subscribe, and ring the bell to get notifications. It helps us grow this community, that we all love our Minnesota Vikings. And on behalf of Tyler Fornes and myself, Dave Stefano, thank you so dearly for watching The Real Forno Show. Skol, everyone! This has been a Vikings First and Skol production, part of the Fans First Sports Network.